Okay, so we're going to start. So tonight, in Mirtz Hashem, we're going to be finishing up the plan is to finish up the last topic in the sugya of Ohel. And with that, we will finish the entire issue of Ohel, the entire malacha of Bona. And Mirtz Hashem, next week, we're going to start our next malacha, which is Makeh B'Patish. Okay, so over the last few weeks, we've been discussing the basic parameters of the Isser of Ohel. The bottom line is that anytime you set up a horizontal covering, so that is potentially going to be an issue of Ohel. And we also saw that if you set up a wall, a temporary wall, so under certain circumstances, if you set it up to permit a halachic function, so that also may be an issue of Ohel. And now tonight, we're going to round out the discussion of Ohel by discussing qualifications to the Isser of Ohel. Different situations where you're setting up a covering and it's going to end up being permissible to do, it's not going to violate the Isser of Ohel. So that's the agenda for tonight. And specifically, we're going to have three basic qualifications to the Isser of Ohel. We're going to spend most of the time doing the first one. And then at the very end, we'll try to get to the second and third one and do them quickly. So that's the goal. Okay, so our first qualification is going to revolve around the Gemara on Kuf Lamed Ches Amud Beis. So let's move over now to the Gemara on Kuf Lamed Ches Amud Beis. We're going to learn it up, and it's going to have a lot of practical ramifications. The Gemara on Kuf Lamed Ches Amud Beis brings, I think it's a brisa, that states a halacha that's not, so well known. It's an interesting halacha, and that is that it's usher to wear a certain type of hat on Shabbos, a siena, which is a certain type of hat, is usher to be worn on Shabbos. What's the issue? So the Gemara in the Havamina assumes, the Gemara originally assumes, that the issue was actually the Isser of Ohel, that when you wear this hat, and the hat has a brim, so when you put this hat on your head, you're putting this hat with the brim on your head, you're setting up a type of covering over your head, and that is an issue of Ohel. That is the Gemara's assumption, it's Havamina, why it's prohibited to wear this type of hat on Shabbos. But the Gemara raises a basic issue with this Havamina understanding of this Isser to wear a hat, and that's what we're going to have to analyze. Gemara says that how can you tell me that wearing this hat with the brim violates the Isser of Ohel by, again, putting this covering over your head, when everyone would agree that if you're wearing a talus and you drape the talus over your head and it extends beyond your head a tefach, that's certainly permitted. Sharviv beglima tefach, if you're holding your glima, your cloak, and you hold it over your head, and it goes over your head a tefach, that certainly does not violate the Isser of Ohel. So how can you tell me that wearing a hat violates the Isser of Ohel by setting up this covering? Why is it different than the case with the talus? That's the Gemara's kasha. So the Gemara gives a cryptic answer to this question. So I'm just going to first spell out the words of the Gemara's answer, and then we're going to go through a big-time achlokas. We're showing him how to interpret the Gemara's resolution to this kasha. So the words of the Gemara's answer is that there's a distinction between the case with the hat and the case with the talus. Why the hat case is usser, the talus case is not usser. One of them is where it's mehuduk, where it's firm, and one of them is where it's not mehuduk, where it's not firm. So those are the words of the Gemara, how to distinguish between these two cases. And the question is, what does the Gemara mean to say? At the end of the day, what is the nature of this Isser to wear this hat on Shabbos? That's the issue that has to be addressed. So this is a significant machlokas rishonim between Rashi versus the Rambam. Two basic approaches, how to understand what is the underlying issue with wearing this hat on Shabbos. Why exactly is it prohibited? So let's start with approach number one, which is the shita of Rashi. Rashi there in the Gemara on Kuf Lamed Ches Amud Beis says that the Gemara in its maskana is actually backing out of the Havamina. The Gemara is concluding that you're right. There's no issue of Ohel when you put this hat onto your head. There's no issue of Ohel by putting this hat on your head for reasons that we'll have to figure out. Rather, the issue that the Gemara is telling us to wear this hat on Shabbos is a new extrinsic issue, lest you come to carry a hat on Shabbos. It's an issue derabanan that Chazal set down not to wear a loosely fitted hat on Shabbos in an area where you're not allowed to carry, let's say an area without an Eruv, lest the hat blow off your head, you pick it up, you try to carry it, and you violate the Isser of Hotza'ah. And so that's the real reason why you cannot wear this hat on Shabbos. It's a new Isser derabanan, nothing to do with the Isser of Ohel, a new issue, lest you come to carry the hat on Shabbos. Now, Rashi doesn't spell out what distinguishes this between the case with a talis, but assuming that you would be permitted to wear a talis in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim in an area that does not have an Erev, so the point would seem to be that a talis is over your whole body, so we're not concerned that the talis is going to blow off of your head, it's not going to blow off your body, but Rashi doesn't really spell that out. But just focusing on the issue of the hat, whatever it is, at the end of the day, Rashi spells out that the issue with wearing a hat is this new gezer derabanan. You cannot wear a loosely fitted hat in an area where there's no Erev, lest you come to carry it. So that is approach number one. Any questions? Good. Okay. Moving over to approach number two, which is the Shita of the Rambam. The Rambam is in the Marmakomos. I put on the Marmakomos. And he brings down this Isser of wearing this type of hat on Shabbos. And he actually codifies it as an Isser of Ohel. The Rambam says that just like, again, we have this ongoing Isser to set up a covering on Shabbos. Rambam says that the reason you cannot wear this hat with a brim is because you're setting up an ohel. I'm setting up this covering over my head, and that is why it is usher to wear this hat on Shabbos. Now, working with the shita of the Rambam, that there is indeed an isser of ohel in wearing a hat with a brim, so how does he interpret the Gemara's answer? So what's the difference between the case with the hat and the case with a talis? When I put the talis and I drape it over my head, so why is that not an isser of ohel, yet there is an isser of ohel when I wear a hat on my head? What's the distinction? So the Radvaz points out that the Rambam himself sets down the answer to this question, how to interpret the Maskan of the Gemara. Because the Rambam sets down two conditions that need to be met for when this Isser of Ohel applies. There's only going to be an issue of wearing a hat with a brim if two conditions are met. And the Radvaz says that the Rambam got this from the Maskan of the Gemara. He interpreted the Gemara as pointing out these two critical conditions that need to exist for the Isser of wearing a hat to apply. And they are as follows. The two conditions are, condition number one, that the hat needs to have a firm and hard brim. It has to have a hard brim. The Rambam says hard like a roof. And the second condition is that it has to be firmly placed on your head. It has to be secure on your head. Assuming that these two conditions are met, that you have a hard brim and it's secured on your head, that's when the Isser of Ohel applies to wearing a hat. But if you don't have these conditions, so then the Isser of Ohel is not going to apply. So says the Radvaz, where did the Rambam get this from? He got this from the Maskan of the Gemara. When the Gemara distinguished between the case with a hat and the case with a talis, the Rambam understood the Gemara to be saying as follows. When it comes to the case with a hat, the reason that there's an issue of ohel is because it's mehuduk, it's firm. It's firm in what regard? In two regards. First of all, it's firm in that the brim is a firm brim. And second of all, it's firm in that it's firmly planted on your head. It's secured on your head. In combination of these two factors, then the Isser of Ohel applies. In contrast to that, when it comes to a talis, when you drape a talis over your head, first of all, the covering is not a firm, hard covering. Second of all, it's not secure and fastened on your head. And therefore, on two accounts, there's no Isser of Ohel. So that is now approach number two, Shitas Rambam, how to understand what is this Isser of wearing a hat on Shabbos? It's an Isser of Ohel. There's an Isser to wear a hat with a brim because of an Isser of Ohel. It's a type of covering you're setting up over your head. And the Rambam set down two conditions for when this Isser applies. It has to be a hard brim. It has to be secured on your head. So these are the two basic approaches now in this Gemara and Kuf Lameches on the base for how to understand the Isser of wearing an ohel on Shabbos. One second. For how to understand the Isser of wearing an ohel on Shabbos. Shitas Rashi, approach number one, it's nothing to do with the Isser of ohel. The issue of wearing a hat is a new gezerah, lest you come to carry it in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And the Shitas Rambam is that it's actually an Isser of ohel. So those are the basic facts, and then we'll stop for a second to take questions, and then we'll start the conceptual analysis, because this actually is going to have significant ramifications to halacha. Any questions? Good? Anything on Zoom? Daniel, you have a question? You're on mute.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, okay. Thank you so much. Just according to the Rambam, what about a literal ohel that's clearly made of, some cloth construction that you've tied down with pegs?
Okay.
Right, you make that on Shabbos. That's not necessarily firm like a roof. So how does that fit under that?
Okay. In other words, another way of asking, like Daniel's asking, what would the Rambam say about a regular ohel? Rambam just set down two conditions for when the Isser of wearing a hat applies. Do those two conditions exist when you set up a regular ohel? So I'm just going to rephrase Daniel's question, and the question is just going to be, where are these two conditions of the Rambam coming from? Why in this particular case do we need it to be secure on your head? And why does it have to be firm like a roof? So I'm taking Daniel's question and I'm spinning it that way. And the Achronim very much are bothered by this issue. Where are these conditions of the Rambam's coming from on a conceptual level. So that's where we're going to try to address that when we get to the Hesber and try to address Daniel's question of where are these conditions of the Rambam coming from. Dov, any question? Okay, fine. So the question becomes as follows. The focusing in on the Ohel aspect of this machlokes, so we're having a machlokes as to if wearing a hat violates the Isser of Ohel. Rashi is telling us, the Maskanas Gemara, there's no issue of Ohel in wearing a hat. The only issue is wearing a loose hat in Rishus Rabbim. So that has its own issues. But in principle, if you want to wear a regular hat in your house and it has a brim on it, no problems, because there's no issue of Ohel. Whereas according to the Rambam, Rambam's teaching us that there's apparently an issue of Ohel in wearing a hat when you violate these, when you have these two conditions, when you satisfy these two conditions. And so the question now becomes, so what's the Hesber in this machlokus? What's the conceptual basis, the Shita of Rashi, that there's no issue of Ohel with a hat? What's the conceptual basis for the Shita's Rambam that there is an issue of Ohel in wearing a hat? And as Daniel had asked, where are the Rambam's two conditions coming from? So we're going to present the Hesber of the Beis Meir. The Beis Meir is a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. And in Aruch Chaim, in Shin Tesvav, he presents a very halacha l'maisa analysis of this machlokes. So we're going to go through his Hesber, and we're going to see the ramifications of how he learned up this machlokes. Now, to set up the Hesber of the Beis Meir, we're going to first point out a famous tshuva of the Chazam Sofer. The Chazam Sofer, the Beis Meir doesn't quote the Chazam Sofer, but they both are working with the same mode of analysis. So we're going to go to the tshuva of the Chazam Sofer just to set up the Hesber of the Beis Meir, and then we'll come back to the Beis Meir's Hesber in this machlokes. The Chazam Sofer, which I put on the Maromokomos, is the famous Chazam Sofer that discusses the issues of umbrellas on Shabbos. We've mentioned this a few times through the span of Meleches Bona, the issue of opening an umbrella on Shabbos, whether that violates the Isser of Ohel. And now tonight, as we conclude the whole Melech of Bona, so we have one last reference to this ongoing debate about opening umbrellas on Shabbos. The Chazam Sofer from the Maromokomos is the big famous Shita that's Matir opening an umbrella on Shabbos. He says that Meikar Adin, there's nothing wrong with opening an umbrella on Shabbos. And he tries to come up with a few different reasons why that is so. And now, right now, in tonight's discussion, we're going to emphasize one of his explanations for why there should be no issue with opening an umbrella on Shabbos. The Chazam Sofer says, as we all know, that everything that's asked to do on Shabbos ultimately comes from the Mishkan. The Mishkan is the paradigm for the Yisra Malacha. And so anytime you want to try to give me a new act that's going to be Usher, it always has to be associated back with the Mishkan. That's what the Chazam Sofer says, which is understood. And so Chazam Sofer says like this. He says, if we look back at the Mishkan, and we look at the concept of a binyan and the concept of an ohel in the Mishkan, nowhere do we find the concept of a moving ohel. Everything that was built in the Mishkan was fixed in position, was not moving around. And so says the Chazam Sofer that since the Mishkan is the paradigm for the Isra Malacha, you cannot tell me that there's going to be an issue of ohel in creating something that moves around that is not fixed. Because since the Mishkan was fixed, everything built there was not moving around. So to any potential Isra of ohel only applies to an ohel that is fixed in position, that is not moving around. Therefore, says the Chazam Sofer, this should be a reason why umbrellas should be mutter. An umbrella is held by a person, it's carried around from place to place, it is not fixed in position, and therefore, says Chazam Sofer, umbrellas should be perfectly permissible on Shabbos. So that is one of the famous pshatim of Chazam Sofer to explain why umbrellas should be mutter on Shabbos. We once discussed another one of his issues a few weeks ago, but this is another one of the arguments that he makes. Now, based on this insight of the Chazam Sofer, so the Beis Meir uses this to give a conceptual explanation of our machlokes Rashi versus the Rambam. Once again, we have a machlokes Rashi versus Rambam. Is there an issue of ohel in wearing a hat on Shabbos? Does it violate the Isser of ohel? Rashi says that it does not, whereas the Rambam says that it does. What's the Hesber in that machlokes? So the Beis Meir doesn't quote the Chazam Sofer by name, but he's working with this basic premise of the Chazam Sofer, that there's this new qualification to the Isser of ohel that everyone's going to subscribe to, that an ohel needs to be fixed. This is our first qualification we're having tonight, that an ohel has to be fixed in position. It cannot be moving around. And the Beis Meir assumes that everyone is going to subscribe to that qualification, which we're gonna show why he concluded that way, that everyone is going to agree to this qualification of the Chazam Sofer, that an ohel needs to be fixed. The question is going to be, to what extent does an ohel need to be fixed? how fixed does an olah need to be to satisfy this qualification? That's going to be the point of contention in this machlokas. Starting with the shita of Rashi, Rashi is going to hold that an ohel needs to be stationary, or in other words, an ohel needs to be grounded. That is the extent to which it needs to be fixed to satisfy this condition. Therefore, Rashi concluded that a hat is never going to be an ohel, because a hat is not grounded, a hat is not stationary, it's on top of a person who's moving around, and so a hat is not going to satisfy this first qualification to the isra of ohel. That's going to be the hesber behind the shita of Rashi, that an ohel needs to be stationary. What's the shita of the Rambam? So the Beis Meir says like this, that the Rambam's also going to agree to this basic premise that an ohel needs to be fixed. But the Rambam's going to have a looser definition to how fixed an ohel needs to be. The Rambam's going to hold that an ohel does not need to be stationary. An ohel just needs to be stable. As long as you set up an ohel that's not wobbling about, that's stable, that's going to satisfy this condition. And so therefore, says the Beis Meir, the Rambam understood that when a person wears a hat on his head and the hat is secured on your head, that stabilizes the hat. You now have a stable covering that violates the isra of ohel. Although it's technically moving around, although this is a moving ohel, but since it's stable because it was firmly planted on the person's head, that's also going to be considered to be fixed. That's going to violate the issue of ohel. And so says the Beis Meir, as Daniel was asking, where's this need for stability, where for being secured come from? The answer is it's a specific halacha that an ohel needs to be stable. Typically, if you put an ohel on the ground and you put it into pegs, so that's automatically stable. But when the person's moving around with a hat on his head, if the hat's not secured firmly on his head, it's going to be wobbling around. That's not called stable. That's not going to satisfy this condition. Only when it's secured on your head is the hat going to be considered to be stable. Is it going to be a problem? So that's the Yesodos Tikkun Hesber that the Beis Meir gives in this Machlokes Rashi versus the Rambam. The question is, to what extent does an ohel need to be fixed? The Rashi is holding it has to be stationary, and so a hat is excluded. And the Rambam holds it has to be stable. As long as it's stable, it's securely planted on your head, it's moving around stable, it's not wobbling around, that's sufficient to satisfy this condition and to violate the isra of ohel. Any questions?
Yeah, right here.
Yeah.
So just to clarify, I want to make sure I'm understanding. Is it fair to say, just in different language, that the hesber here is that everyone agrees that an ohel needs to be a fixed entity, but it's a question of fixed relative to what? According to Rashi, it's got to be fixed relative to its position, and therefore it's only when it's in the ground that it becomes an ohel. Versus the Rambam, it's got to be fixed relative to itself.
100%.
Right? I'm sorry, just to clarify, even fixed relative to itself. So while an ohel with pegs in the ground, that's because it's fixed relative to its position, but even something that's fixed relative to itself is enough to be an ohel.
Right. 100%. Daniel's just rephrasing the point. He's pointing out that another way of saying this hesber is that Rashi holds that it has to be fixed relative to the ground. Whereas the Rambam holds that as long as it's fixed relative to its, I guess you want to call it its position, it's on the person, it's fixed relative to itself, that's also going to be sufficient. So that's a very nice way of putting it as well. So that's the Hesber in this machla. Any other questions? Penny? Over a tefach? Meaning what? If you have a layer of schach and I put a, Penny's asking if I have a layer of schach and I put an OL, a covering on top of that schach, higher than a tefach, would that be a problem? A tefach up over the schach? I have schach here and then an OL on top of that, over a tefach? Okay, so we're going to have to see, so it's an interesting question. We're going to have to see from more qualifications to assess that issue. Yona? So Yonah is asking, can you set up a canopy on a wagon on Shabbos? So that might be a similar issue that according to Rashi would not be an issue. According to the Rambam, if we have a moving ohel on top of this wagon, it would be the same analysis. Assuming you stabilize it, it could be an achanami. That would be a problem. Okay. Ben. Ben is asking if the Rambam holds that an ohel does not need to be on karka. So whatever you want to call it in this case, it's on the person who's on the ground. The Rambam's holding that this ohel on the person on the ground is sufficient. Right, okay. Ben is pointing out that Chassam Sofer has more nuances in this analysis, but we're just giving a basic presentation. Okay, fine. So that was the basic Hesber in this Machlokes. Mayor Spector, you have a question?
Wait, why does the hat need to have a hard brim?
Okay, I tried pulling a fast one on you. Mayor asked, why does the hat need a hard brim? So as you notice, I explained why it has to be secured. I didn't explain why it needs a hard brim. Daniel, I was hoping you wouldn't pick up on that one. Okay, so.
That was my next question.
Yeah, I know. Why does a hat need a hard brim? So I'll be honest, it might be that this is a more compromised situation, that once again, this is more of an inferior type of ohel. It is still moving around. So the Rambam may hold that to compensate, it needs to be a more significant covering. So off the cuff, that seems to be the point, that since this is a weaker type of ohel, so to speak, it's more of an inferior type of ohel. So we need to compensate by a nice hard brim. But that's a good question. I tried pulling a fast one. Do you want to keep going? You know? Sorry, you want to have a question?
No, I was just going to ask, maybe you could say that if a softer brim is going to be flapping around, it itself.
Okay, so Yonah's also pointing out that a softer brim is less stable, it's flapping around. So maybe that's going to help work with the stability idea. Okay, interesting point. Actually, very good point. Fine. Okay, so now we're going to discuss two practical ramifications of this first qualification. Our first qualification we're having to the Isra of Ohel is the qualification of the Chassam Sofer, that an ohel needs to be fixed in place. We're just having a machlokas, Rashi and Rambam, how fixed does it need to be? Does it have to be stationary or stable? But either way, we're having a general qualification to the Isra of ohel that it needs to be fixed. And we're now going to show two ramifications, two halach lamaisa ramifications of this analysis. So ramification or application number one is as follows. The Tzitz Eliezer was once asked the following shaila. There was once a minyan that was taking place at the Kosel, and it was on Shabbos during Kriyas HaTorah. And all of a sudden, in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah at the Kosel, it starts to rain. So that's obviously not good news for the Jews outside. During Kriyas HaTorah, it's raining, it's not good for the people, and more importantly, the Torah. So the question is what to do. So some people came up with a solution. Let's just hold a talus over the head of the Baal Koreh in the Torah to protect them from the rain. It's finished raining, and then we'll go inside, we'll put the Torah away. That was what some people suggested. Other people responded that that's gonna violate the Isra of Ohel. You can't set up a talus over the Torah. You're gonna violate the Isra of Ohel. And so a debate broke out at the Kosel whether this was permissible or not. Some people were arguing that it should be permissible. Some people were arguing that it should violate the Isra of Ohel. And so this question was posed to the Tzitz Eliezer, assuming that they came up with some kind of solution. And then afterwards they asked the Tzitz Eliezer the halacha. But that's the shaila that he was asked. He was asked the shaila, and he gave us this background to the shaila in his tshuva. So I'm going to skip the shaka vataria of his analysis. We're just going to go to his maskana. The conclusion of the Tzitz Eliezer is that there's room to be lenient in the shaila because of the base mayor. He doesn't quote the base mayor by name, but there's a whole school of achronim that are working with this approach, the Chassam Sofer, the base mayor, the Chazon Ish. There's a whole school of achronim working with this general analysis of the base mayor. And the Tzitz Eliezer says, based on this school of analysis, we can be matir holding the talus over the Torah in this situation. Because what's this qualification that we're setting down to the Isser of Ohel? We're saying that it has to be fixed. Either, you know, how fixed it has to be is a machlokus, but an Ohel has to be fixed in position. Says the Tzitz Eliezer, when you have, in fact, says the base mayor himself and the Tzitz Eliezer, the base mayor himself already spelled this out, that when you have an Ohel held up by people, if people are holding up a sheet, that is not called fixed. That's not called fixed. It's not called stable. It's wobbling around. As Yonah had just said himself, that, you know, so much what Yonah just said, if you have people holding up an ohel, so as much as you like to say that you have surgeon's hands, but, you know, even Moshe Rabbeinu got tired with his arms up, you know, in a few weeks, he needed support. And so I suspect that in a few hours, you're also going to get tired. It's not fixed in position. Lamaisa, when people are holding up an ohel, it's not going to be fixed in position. And so says the base mayor and says the Chassam Sofer, the Chazon Ish, everyone's going to agree that an ohel held up by a person does not satisfy this condition. Therefore says it's Tzitz Eliezer. Okay. So these people are going to hold the talus over the Torah. This is an ohel held up by people that is going to be perfectly permissible or based on this analysis of the base mayor. So that was the heter of the Tzitz Eliezer. And he throws in that in line with this analysis, that based on this analysis, we can also explain a famous minhag in Klal Yisrael. There's a famous question pertaining to a famous minhag in Klal Yisrael, and that is on Simchas Torah. On Simchas Torah, so by the Chasam Torah and the Chasam Bereishis, we hold that, you know, I guess when there's Mirtz Hashem, when the vaccine is back in. But we usually, on regular Simchas Torahs, we hold a talus. We all crowd together without masks over the person getting the aliyah. And we hold a talus over the head of the Chassan HaTorah and the Chassan Bereshis. And the famous question that the poskim struggle with is, well, how do we explain why this is mutter? Why is this not violating the Isser of Ohel? How are we holding a talus over the head of the person getting the aliyah? Why does this not violate the Isser of Ohel? Says it's Itz Eliezer. Based on this whole line of reasoning, we can now answer the famous question of the Achronim, because we're explaining that an Ohel held up by a person is not an Ohel, because an Ohel needs to be fixed. An Ohel has to be fixed in position. When a person is holding up an Ohel, that's not called an Ohel, it's not called fixed, and therefore that explains the minhag why it's perfectly permissible to hold up this talus over the Chassan HaTorah. So that is all practical application number one of this first qualification. We're saying it once again, an Ohel needs to be fixed, and the practical application is this heter of the Tzitz Eliezer for people to be holding a talus over the Chassan Torah or at the Kotel if it starts to rain. Yeah.
On Simchas Torah, are we assuming people are holding the corners or holding it even with poles?
On Simchas Torah, we assume people are holding with poles or holding the corners. Even if it would be poles, it probably should be. Either way, it still wouldn't be gold stable, I don't think. By a chuppah, like on Shabbos, you mean, or like,
no, yeah. like a chuppah at a wedding.
Chuppah at a wedding.
Well, I held the corner of a chuppah.
Okay. Penny's asking Allah in terms of holding a chuppah. Yeah. But again, we're not during Shabbos, you mean?
No, when he does that, it would have worked.
Well, I guess either way, there's no way to serve Ohel, so it won't be a problem.
As it would be considered an Ohel,
though. Okay. So Penny's asking a question of how the Isra of Ohel plays out through a chuppah, which is discussed in the postkim. But it's not so normal because usually weddings don't take place on Shabbos. So we'll just leave that aside for now. But that was a good question. Any other issues? Okay, fine. So let's move over to application number two. Our second application of this whole first qualification is actually going to be a potential chumrah. Ultimately, Rabbi Sokol is going to be Mekel in the Shaila. But it's always fun to know some more ideas. So we'll point out a chumrah, which won't end up being a chum at the end of the day, but just to know. There's another famous question that comes up, which is as follows. This whole discussion sounds like a funny foreign idea that there's an issue to wear a hat on Shabbos. It's actually explicit in Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch in Siman Shin Aleph brings down this issue of wearing a hat on Shabbos. But we actually paskin both like Rashi and like the Rambam. We paskin the Chumrah like both Shitas, that you cannot wear a loosely fitted hat in an area without an Erev, like the Shita of Rashi, lest you come to carry it. And you cannot wear a tightly fitted hat, like the Rambam had said, anywhere with the brim, because that's an Ohel. So this is explicit in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Shin Aleph, that there's an Isser of wearing a hat on Shabbos, both because of the Shita of Rashi, lest it blow off your head, and like the Shita of the Rambam, that there's an issue of Ohel in wearing a hat. And so the famous question becomes, so how do we explain the contemporary practice of everybody to wear some type of hat on Shabbos, whatever the color or shape, or whether there's a feather or not? You know, many people wear different types of hats on Shabbos, and, you know, Elav Elu, whatever it is, how do we explain the widespread practice in Klal Yisrael to wear a hat on Shabbos? Now, working with the Shita of Rashi, meaning we pass them both like Rashi and the Rambam. So focusing on the Rashi aspect of the Shaila, it's more of a limited Isser. Rashi's Isser is only in an area without an Erev to wear a loosely fitted hat. Now, Rabbi Sokol told me that he's actually bothered by this halach lamaisa. He feels that a lot of hats are not considered to be tight. So he's bothered by the widespread practice of, you know, walking in an area without an Erev and just holding your hat tightly so it doesn't fall off your head. The fact that you're holding on your head tightly is the biggest proof that it's not tight on your head. So he's actually bothered by the practice of wearing a hat in an area without an Erev, meaning he's bothered, not to say that he thinks that it should be Asra necessarily, but it's an issue that needs to be addressed. But that's not the most common issue necessarily. Many people rely on Erevin, and many areas have Erevin. So we'll put the issue of Rashi aside, but just focusing on the Rambam Shita. So we also paskin like the Rambam. The Rambam holds, and it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, that there's an Isra of wearing a hat on Shabbos with a brim because of the Isra of Ohel. So how do we explain the widespread practice to wear hats on Shabbos? What happened to this din that's explicit in the Shulchan Aruch? Now, if you want a really fancy chumrah that is not accepted lahalacha, but just to know. So apparently Rav Nissen Karelitz is makbid for this halacha. It's brought down in Chut Shani. He brings down that you should not wear a hat with a brim of more than a tefach. Make sure that your brim is less than 3.7 inches. So Rav Nissen Karelitz is makbid for this halacha, apparently. I guess anyone who doesn't wear a hat, if you want like a stark reason not to wear a hat, you could say that you're choshish for Rav Nissen Karelitz's shita. And if you wear it during the week, then maybe on Shabbos you'll forget. So yeah, whatever it is, that's the chumra of Rav Nissen Karelitz, but no one seems to accept that, I mean, at least in our society, l'halacha. So once again, the question becomes, how do we explain the widespread practice of wearing a hat? So there are two basic answers to this question, and it is actually going to potentially be somewhat halacha l'maisa. Answer number one is based on a Rambam. Going back to a Rambam, the Rambam had said that one of the conditions for the Isra of Ohel is that it has to be a hard brim. The halacha that I tried pulling over Mayor Spector's eyes, which he caught me on, was that the Rambam set down a condition that the brim of the hat has to be a hard brim. Now, many hats that people wear are considered to be soft-brimmed hats. They easily fold up and down. And so working with that condition of the Rambam, that would be one explanation why it would be permissible to wear a hat nowadays if it's not considered to be a hard-brimmed hat. So that is solution number one to the common practice of wearing a hat on Shabbos. The second solution is to suggest, other poskim suggest, is that it could be that if you wear a hat for the sake of style and it's not done for the sake of serving as a covering, not as a protection, so then it's like part of your clothing. It's just kind of buttled to your clothing. It's, you know, you wear a watch, you wear a shirt, you wear a hat. If you're wearing it for the sake of style, not for the sake of protecting yourself from the elements, so maybe that should be buttled to your body. It's viewed as part of your clothing, and maybe that would also undermine the Isser of Ohel. So these are the two mainstream explanations to the common practice of wearing hats. Option number one is if we have soft brim hats, so that would not satisfy the Isser of Ohel. Option number two is if we wear hats that are worn for the sake of style, but not for the sake of protecting ourselves from the elements, so that could also be a potential solution. Now, just to finish it off, so there's, I guess, a somewhat obvious cheshbon to make, which is Rabbi Neustadt now comes in with a chumrah, and Rabbi Neustadt pointed out that it should come out based on this whole analysis that if a person wears a hat and he doesn't satisfy these conditions, there indeed should be a problem on Shabbos. If a person wants to wear a hat that doesn't have a soft brim, and let's say he's wearing the hat to protect himself from the rain, so Rabbi Neustadt says that that should be a problem on Shabbos. So that would be a potential chumrah that comes out of this whole analysis. Just to summarize again, we're raising the issue of how do we wear hats nowadays on Shabbos? What happened to this whole Isser of the Rambam? We presented two basic solutions. Either we have soft-brimmed hats, or second solution is that it's done for the sake of style. And Rabbi Neustadt suggests a major chumrah, which is that it should come out of this analysis that if a person would have a hat that is a hard brim, it's not easily bendable, and it's not done for the sake of style, but it's done for the sake of protecting yourself from the elements, so that would be a problem on Shabbos. I asked Rabbi Sokol this halacha. He was not so excited about it. He thought it wasn't such a big issue, and it's not a reason to make a big deal. He didn't think it was such a big issue, halacha. But it's just an interesting contemporary issue that comes up. It's a famous issue that comes up in the poskim. Daniel, do you have a question?
Yeah, according to the second approach, the aesthetics approach, how would they understand the Gemara, which questions this hard hat? Meaning, let's say his intent was, couldn't the Gemara just answer, his intent is to wear it for style?
Okay, Daniel is asking, if you go with the second answer about style, how do you understand the Gemara, the Shakavataria of the Gemara? So the truth of the matter is, I tried to pull another fast one on everybody, and I got caught again, that I presented the base mayor's analysis of this Shakavataria of the Gemara. The truth is that there is another approach to explain this Gemara, exactly as Daniel just said, based on the style idea. There are achronim that plug the whole style idea into this analysis, and they argue on the base mayor. And that's why, if you notice, when I said over the Sitz Eliezer, I was careful. I said that he says that there's room to be lenient. Why is there room to be lenient? It's a heter. The answer is that it's a heter of the base mayor. But as Daniel just pointed out, he caught me, there are some achronim that explain the Gemara a little differently, and they argue on the base mayor. So he says that there's room to be lenient, but there is what of an issue to discuss. So that was a very, very sharp point. Daniel caught me, Kedarko Bagodesh. Any other?
Wouldn't we find some evidence of that in the Rambam or Rashi?
Evidence that you have style in the Rambam or Rashi? Is that your question?
Yeah.
Okay, so since Daniel's doing a good job of catching me, The answer, Daniel asks, where do we find this idea of style in the Rambam or Rashi? The answer is we find the idea of style in Tosfos on Kof Lama Ches Oma Beis. That's why when I wrote the Marma Komos, I wrote Rashi and the Rambam and not Tosfos. You should know that usually when I write the Marma Komos, I always prefer to do Tosfos over an external Rishon because I like to stay on the daf. I like to feel like we're learning up the daf itself. But in this particular case, I specifically avoided Tosfos and went to the Rambam because I wanted to go with the Beis Meir's analysis because it's a very famous analysis that I wanted to get out. But okay, but you caught me on everything. Excellent.
Okay.
Let me just check the time quickly. Let's maybe we'll take one more question. And Mordechai. Okay, Mordechai is asking an interesting question. If you have a hat and it's made for style, but you put a rain cover over the hat, so would that be a problem? So that's an interesting question. I don't know the answer to that off the cuff. It might. I'm saying at the end of the day, are you now wearing it to protect yourself from the rain? For both reasons? Okay. Okay. So Mordechai is asking an interesting question. If you wear a hat with a rain cover on top, so maybe you're wearing it for two reasons, for style and to protect yourself in the rain, what would the halacha be in that situation? So thankfully, Ari Sokol is more makel than these shailas. So don't ask Ari Neustadt, ask Ari Sokol.
Some people wear old hats, dafka, that they don't mind getting ruined, or they might be already ruined.
Okay, so Ari Gali is pointing out some people wear older hats because they don't mind them getting ruined, which I guess would...
So it's not for style.
Right, that is not for style. So that's what I'm saying. So Rabbi Neustadt, I'll be honest, I'm specifically not giving his examples because he gives very contemporary examples that he holds as usher. And I don't want to start being super machmer and everybody. So that's why I'm not quoting his examples, but he says very contemporary examples of hats that he feels are a problem based on this analysis. That's why I just quoted Rabbi Sokol. I just wanted someone who's machmer this because I can't, if it's true, it's true. But Rabbi Sokol is much more makel. But you're right. So if there's room to be machmer, if you want to be machmer, there's room to be machmer based on what we're learning. There really is, but there's room to be makel. So that's the real truth. Okay. So with that, we've concluded qualification number one to the Isser of Ohel, the qualification of the Chassam, Daniel caught me on the machlokas, but there are many achorim that work with this, the Chassam Sofer, the Chazanish, the Beis Meir, they all work with this general approach of this heter that an ol needs to be fixed. We have machlokas, Rashi, and Rambam, as explained by these achronim, about how fixed that needs to be. And we showed two practical applications, that Tzitzel Yezer's heter with the talus, where there's room to be makel. And we have the issue with hats. How do we explain the heter of hats nowadays, which we also plugged in to this whole analysis? Okay. So let's move over now to qualification number two. The second qualification was asked to me by Dov Moskowitz a number of weeks ago. He was very on the ball with this issue. And it's going to also have very practical ramifications. It starts with the Gemara on Kof Lamechez Amin Olav. The Gemara on Kof Lamechez Amin Olav brings a brisa that tells us that it is mutter to open a folding chair on Shabbos. It is permissible to open a folding chair on Shabbos. Now, this halacha needs analysis because at first glance, when you open a folding chair, that should violate the Isser of Ohel. Listen, I have a chair that's folded up. When I unfold it, I'm spreading out the seat, which is a type of horizontal covering. So why is that not violating the Isser of Ohel? When I open up my folding chair, I'm setting up the seat of the chair. Let that violate the Isser of Ohel. So there are two basic approaches in the Rishonim how to explain this heter in this Gemara. Why is it mutter to open a folding chair on Shabbos? Machlokes between the Ritva versus Rashi. So let's start with the Shita of the Ritva. The Ritva explains that this heter to open a folding chair is stemming from a new qualification to the Isser of Ohel. And that is that the Isser of Ohel only applies if you are setting up a covering for the sake of using the area underneath the covering. I set up a sheet to use the area underneath the sheet. But if you set up a covering and your goal is not to use the under area, but the surface on top of the covering, that is not an issue of Ohel. So when you open up a folding chair, what is my purpose? Am I opening it up to use the area underneath the folding chair or the area on top? The answer is you're opening up a folding chair to use the area on top of it. You want to sit on top of this chair. Since your goal is to use the top area and not the underside, that does not violate the Isser of Ohel. So this is Shita number one, the shita of the Ritva, that the heter of the folding chair stems from a new qualification that an ohel has to be made lishtamish tachtav, to use the under area. If it's not made to use the under area, that's not going to violate the iser of ohel. That's shita number one. Moving over to shita number two. Shita number two is the shita of Rashi. Rashi gives a different, as understood by some achronim, hint, hint, some argue, but some achronim understood Rashi this way. Rashi's holding, as arguing on the Ritva, and as giving a new interpretation of this heter to open the folding chair. Rashi, as interpreted by a number of achronim, including the Chazon Ish and the Magen Avraham, understood as follows, that the reason it's motzeh to open a folding chair is because the folding chair is already pre-assembled. It's just folded up. The issue of ohel is when you take separate disparate pieces and you put together a covering. But if you already have a pre-assembled ohel, it's just folded up, and you unfold it, that's not called making an ohel. Making an ohel means you take separate disparate pieces and you assemble them. That's called making an ohel. But if you have a pre-assembled structure that's just folded up and you unfold it, that's not going to be considered to be making an ohel. That's going to be permissible. So these are the two basic shitos in the Rishonim for how to interpret this Gemara. What's the heter of opening a folding chair? Shita number one, the Ritva, is that it's based on the fact that you're using the area up above, not the area underneath. Shita number two is the shita of the Ritva, of Rashi, that it's based on a heter that an ohel has to be assembled. The issur of ohel is when you assemble different parts. But if you have a pre-assembled ohel and you just unfold it, that's not called making an ohel. That's not going to be prohibited. Now, there's a major nafkamina in this machlokis, which is as follows. The poskim raised the issue as to whether it's mutter to open the hood of a baby stroller on Shabbos. Let's say you have a baby stroller and the hood is closed. So can I unfold the hood of the baby stroller on Shabbos? So this is going to be a nafkamina in this machlokis Rashi versus the Ritva. Starting with the shita of the Ritva. The Ritva shita is that what was the heter of the folding chair? Because you're using the area over the covering, not the area underneath. That's all fine and well with a folding chair, where you're planning on sitting on top of the chair. But when it comes to the hood of a baby stroller, so you're unfolding the hood to protect the baby underneath from the sun or the rain up above, that's done for the sake of the area underneath. That would be a problem according to the Ritva. Moving over to the shita of Rashi, Rashi shita is that what was the heter of the folding chair? Because it's pre-assembled. As long as it's pre-assembled, it's just folded up, it's going to be mutter to unfold it and to open it up. If you're working with Shitas Rashi, it would be mutter, same thing with the baby stroller. The hood is pre-assembled, it's just folded up, I would be allowed to unfold it on Shabbos. Now just halach l'maisa, so the Chazon Ish was meiko on the Shaila. Chazon Ish paskins like the second approach, that like Rashi Shita as understood by him, for why it's mutter to open a folding chair. And so he passes that it's mutter to unfold a baby hood on Shabbos. Rav Moshe was asked this shaila, and Rav Moshe responded as follows. He said, I don't have time to look into it, but there's room to question the heter of the Chazon Ish. So I feel that you should be machmer in the shaila. Leave it out a tefach before Shabbos. Open it up a tefach before Shabbos, and then I'll let you uncover it more on Shabbos. What's the heter of opening it up a tefach before Shabbos, and then you can uncover it more on Shabbos? So that is qualification number three, which Rav Moshe just taught us. I put it in the Marmakomus, but just the bottom line, there's another heter. Qualification number three, that if you open it up a little bit before Shabbos, you can open up an ohel more on Shabbos itself. And so Rav Moshe argued in the Chazon Ish, he said, I don't have time to look into it, but you should be machmed on the Shaila and open up the tefach before Shabbos and open up the rest on Shabbos. So we're going to stop now. I just want to end in time. So just to quickly sum up, we just finished the whole malacha of Bona, the whole issur of ohel. We had three qualifications to all tonight. Qualification number one was the qualification of the base mayor, Chazon Ish, and the Chassam Sofer. Then all needs to be fixed. Machlokas Rashi and Rambam, how fixed it needs to be. We had two applications of that machlokas. That's Tzitzel Yezer's heter with the palace. And we discussed wearing hats. Why is it permissible? Some possible reasons. And maybe some hats might be a problem. And then we had qualification number two was the folding chair heter. It's much to open up a folding chair. Machlokas, we've shown him why that is so. In the hood of a baby stroller on Shabbos, and Machlokas Chazon Ish and Rav Moshe on that. Interestingly enough, the Chazon Ish is Mikel, Rav Moshe is Machmir. Okay, I guess it happens. And then finally, qualification number three, which Rav Moshe quickly referenced for us, was if you open an ohel up before Shabbos, and it's a temporary ohel, you're allowed to extend it some more on Shabbos itself. Thank you very much for joining us. And Mirch Shem, next week we'll start the malacha of Makom HaPatish. Shkaya.
We've got a
question?
Yeah, I have one question. So, according to Rashi here, why is the Mishkan building an ohel? Isn't the function, the ohel part was just the curtain, unless I'm wrong.
In the Mishkan, you're saying?
Yeah, that's one piece that's ready to go, right? Even though, yes, there are disparate pieces.
So the Gemara says that the issue in the Mishkan it was the crush, and that they put the beams into the sockets. When they put the beams into the sockets, that began the Malach of Bona, actually. It's actually the Av Malach of Bona was building the Mishkan is actually considered to be a more of a solid structure. Ohel is actually a Tolda of Bona. The Av of Bona in the Mishkan was putting the beams into the sockets.
Right, but the creation of the Ohel, at least in this paradigm, is from where? Was it spreading over of the curtain?
So Ohel, the Rambam says, is a Tolda of Bona, which means that it didn't technically take place in the Mishkan, but it's derived from the Mishkan, meaning the Av in the Mishkan was building a real solid structure, and we derive from there that even a more flimsy structure is also subject to the Isser of Ohel.
Okay, fine.
Excellent. Daniel Mamish, awesome. Shkaya, thank you for...
Always a pleasure.
Have a wonderful Shabbos, everybody.
You too.